Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Redmen Radio, the Liverpool podcast. This week, almost entirely dedicated to our love of James Milner. We'll come to that in due course, though, Chris.
Yeah, we will, man. Yeah, well, do we have to, or can we just do it now? Because, you know, I'm ready to talk.
There's not much to get through in the way of news, so it shan't be long. Kickoff question.
Can I give you the news in brief after the kickoff question?
Yes. Kickoff question comes from Ailey Simpson at Eurus90 on Twitter. He says,
well pronounced.
Why was Neymar not playing yesterday? Was he injured? Yeah. Neymar was all right, wasn't he? He was okay.
No, yes. Underwhelming, to be honest. I think is probably the right word.
Was he underwhelming because he didn't play well, or was he underwhelming because we played really well against them?
He was underwhelming for Paris fans because Liverpool dicked Neymar everywhere, basically. And, you know, it's that time, and it's early on, it's probably 3, 4, 5 minutes into the game, and he's fighting with Trent on the wing, and then all of a sudden he's running to Jordan Henderson, and then Mo Salah's there, and then James Milner's there, and then he ends up giving the ball away. And it was like that all day. You know, he was playing in an area of the pitch whereby he wanted to come inside. So what we did was we just pushed Trent past him and said, okay, well, that's fine. If you're coming inside, we don't need to keep Trent back.
Yeah.
We'll play using width and we'll play with crosses against you. I think it was like something ridiculous, like 29 crosses Liverpool put in. And we just marched Trent Alexander-Arnold all the way up the field and went, go ahead, if he's not going to track you, we'll utilise that. And what we ended up doing is making like an offset back three with Robbo, with Van Dijk and with Gomez. And our midfielders, it felt like James Milner was the man of the match. Mm-hmm. But if you'd have told me Gini Wijnaldum was your man of the match or Jordan Henderson, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to pick up this apart. They were all outstanding. And it was like we had a game plan, not just for Neymar, but for every player that they had that could cause us problems.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Neymar thing, in that his game is dribble inside the pitch and then kick the ball through the middle and hope that Mbappe runs onto it. That's literally what he does for them, and his passing was horrendous for most of it, apart from that one thing where the Mbappe goal where Van Dijk is so close stopping him from releasing the ball.
He doesn't pass it. Van Dijk tackles him. If you look at it, it's a bang-bang play. Van Dijk tackles him, it bounces off Van Dijk's foot into Neymar's foot and goes through to Mbappe. But to be fair to Neymar, he was the only player on their pitch who had any key passes last night, if you look at the stats.
Yeah.
He had 4 key passes. No other Paris Saint-Germain player had any. But that's also the funnel effect of having Neymar there, isn't it? It's that, like, we have it with Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
You have that one player, and it's like, oh, Coutinho's there. Give him the ball, he'll do something. I think Neymar thrives off that, and I think he wants to be that guy. That's why he left Barcelona. But it's a team game, and you've got to recognise as a team, that's not always the best option, no matter how good he is.
I love the fact that, it's that there's almost a narrative around it. We covered this in loads more depth on the final word this week, as we did PSG in general. So if you want more on the PSG stuff, go to theredmentv.com and watch that or listen to that podcast. You weren't on that one?
No, I wasn't, but I did an hour on the stats and tactics show on PSG. So if you really want to love it, we've got 2 hours worth of PSG content.
And the Man of the Match podcast as well, for that matter.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little bit.
Neither of us are on that one. It could be good, it could be shit, who knows?
Yeah. But there was that, the thing of Neymar picking the ball up. And if you're a big Neymar fan, you'd be like, oh, you know, he wasn't really at his peak of powers yesterday. He'd had basically a week off to prepare for the game.
He's rested.
He was well rested. If he's not rested, it's his own fault. He's sat up and ruined himself, clearly. You know, he's probably been watching, you know, he's
maybe
been
stayed up
watching.
Late with his sister or something.
Binge watching box sets is what I was going to go with. Is this an incest vibe you're hitting up
there? Yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay. Just going to clarify that. I think we'll move that on there. Really? Yeah. Okay, cool. What was your week's topics?
What for?
You wanted to talk about the news in brief?
We beat PSG and we made them look silly.
Okay, cool. Literally the only news, there's been a few bits and pieces. There were actually some interesting stuff.
I can't believe you didn't unhear those rumours. Yeah, okay, cool. It's fine.
Is that a...
Everybody else knows.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was... You shouldn't have to explain these things, and it doesn't work, but maybe it does for a podcast. Who knows? News in brief, what else?
Liverpool appoint Jack Robinson as assistant goalkeeper coach. If you look at the way this story's been spun a little bit, it's like we're hiring the replacement for Achterberg, and he doesn't know it yet, except if you actually read into it, Achterberg's effectively hired this guy just to give him a bit of hand. But I don't think it's a bad idea to have another guy in there to help lighten
extra pair of hands.
Literally an extra pair of hands. But also...
That jokes.
Yeah, that's nailed on. But also, I think, for whatever people may think of John Achterberg, again, we did the Resonies Roundup show this week where we talked a lot about this. Really interesting. Having some fresh ideas in the place is never gonna hurt a coaching setup.
No, I think these guys know that. I think... Jürgen Klopp knows that. It's why we brought Tonis Granemark into the club as the throw-in coach. It's Klopp. The great bosses, managers, coaches, whatever it is, understand their weaknesses and get people to surround themselves with people who are better at the stuff that they're not good at.
Yeah.
And if Achterberg's good...
Not good at coaching goalkeepers, then
let's get another one in. You know what I mean?
That would be a slight. But no, we did discuss the whole thing. Is Achterberg good enough, et cetera, et cetera. It was me, Ben, and AJ on that one, and some really interesting points raised. So again, if you want that discussion topic covered, we did that, and there's a couple of players, as a player that we've been linked with, some Dinamo Zagreb winger, which is the biggest little bollocks I've heard in my life.
Olmo, or something like that, is it?
Cuddle me, Olmo.
It sounds like he's come straight out of Sesame Street, to be honest with you.
Exactly. But anyway, look, we'll move on because the news in brief is nowhere near as interesting as talking about the fact that Liverpool beat Paris Saint-Germain 3-2 at Anfield. Question to you, Mr. Chris Pajak. Was that result a message sent to the rest of Europe?
Yeah, I think so. It's more like, you've got to imagine, everyone always says, we're sat at Europe's top table. Mm-hmm. That's what thing. We've walked into that room in a dressing gown, mate. Mm-hmm. We've sat at the head of the fucking table. We've opened the dressing gown. We've slapped our cock on the table. And we've said, listen, boys, we're back. We're absolutely back. And yous are all dead uncomfortable because you would be, wouldn't you, if someone walked in?
And the worst thing about it is, unfortunately, because I'm sat in front of you, the only person I can see doing this right now is yourself. And yes, Chris, that would be fairly uncomfortable.
But that's what Liverpool have just done, basically, with that. And it's not like a written message that's passed around the table. It's we've walked in, we've opened our dressing gown, we've slapped our cock on the table, and we've said, boys, who's next? Who wants some of this? Because you're like, bend over, we'll give it to any of you.
Okay. Wow. We've taken this in a direction I wasn't thinking we were gonna go there. So, what are we hoping they're going to do to us?
Just let us win the European Cup.
Right, okay. I thought it was some sort of sexual intercourse. Okay, that's fine. Fine. Absolutely cool. I think we talked about this in the build-up about how the perception of Liverpool on the continent... We don't really get to see that so much, and how from the PSG perspective, people thought that Liverpool were favourites going into this game. And I think in our heart of hearts, I think we all felt, not that we were favourites, but I think we felt that we were always going to give PSG a game. But I think for anyone for passive observers and what have you, you know, I spoke to Flav from Ball Street this morning about it, and they're really like jealous is not the word, but envious. They're looking at us going like, wow. You know, and there's probably a few people who are hoping that Liverpool, who have thrived off or enjoy Liverpool being a flash in the pan for a number of years. And I think, you know, having PSG come round to our house and then barely make it out alive, it's not a message. The result isn't the message. The scoreline isn't the message in the same way it was with Tottenham Hotspur. But Thomas Tuchel will be coming out of that game going, oh my God, what am I going to do here?
Yeah. And not only that, Tuchel said in his press conference, like, this pure defeatist line, wasn't it? And I read it today on social media, and it was like, it's Anfield, it's what they do here.
Yeah.
That is as defeatist as you get. Yeah. That's one of the top coaches in European football with the best players at his disposal. Yeah. That's just gone, you can't win here, boys. And that in itself is just as big a message for what Liverpool did to his team on the pitch. Well, because now anybody's coming into Anfield and going, Tuchel's a great coach, he's got Neymar, he's got Cavani, he's got all this. And he realised he was done before they started. And he kind of were, Paul. Yeah. That's the other thing. Tuchel must absolutely hate Anfield.
Yeah, completely, completely. And it's interesting because I don't think he will have felt that going into the game. That will have been his lingering fear based on the Dortmund result. But he'll have gone in going, well, that was Dortmund. Yeah. And that wasn't really my team. I hadn't had me full time to put my stamp on it. It was still Jürgen's team. And of course, Jürgen had the hoodoo over them players. They loved him more than they bloody loved me. But this is Paris Saint-Germain. I've got Neymar. I've got Mbappe. Mbappe's got 4 goals in 3 games this season. Blah, 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 blah. And yeah, afterwards he's kind of going, oh, Christ. And I love that idea as well because we looked at there was that top line stat, there was that graphic that we looked at in the countdown to kickoff, and their front three had scored one more goal than our front three had done in whatever it was in 2017.
Since the start of 17-18, yeah. So I imagine it includes this season.
Yeah, so they'd scored one more goal. And so effectively, they've got a lethal front line the way that we have. And imagine us taking our front three to a place and going, yeah, well, you know, I can't imagine us coming away from anywhere in the world going, well, that's just what happens, isn't it? And I love the fact that they've set that out now, almost like, I mean, look, this is PSG. We've gone into this group, everyone was talking about it. Napoli and Belgrade draw, which now means we've now got a nice little 2-point cushion at the top of there. PSG, bottom of the group after the first. Great. Well, no, exactly. And we talk about these statements and setting things out. They're going to have to contend with that. That's going to change how they play us when we go to the their yard as well.
Yeah, they have to come out.
Do there'll be added maybe pressure on them to come out, or is he then planning the rest of his fixtures going, Christ, we need to put all our efforts into getting our points elsewhere because Liverpool's going
to
be.
To be fair, he's just put all his eggs in the Liverpool basket by resting Neymar, by resting Mbappe for this game. And listen, you know, by the time it comes around, we both might have qualified.
Yeah,
you know, but for Tuchel and his job, because he's new to Paris Saint-Germain, and you know, he wants to create that culture of winning in European ties, he needs to at least split the series. Yeah. So he has to win. A draw is now not good enough for him. And that's the interesting point. Whether they finish higher than us in the group stages or not, if we win and draw, then they've lost and drawn. And he won't be pleased with that. And Paris Saint-Germain fans will not be pleased with that. So he has to win that game. Mm. And it's a great way to look at it, isn't it?
Isn't it just? I want to talk about Sadio Mane.
Let's do it.
I've
not talked about James yet.
Oh, no,
I'm really disappointed.
Don't worry, we've got questions coming in. Questions galore to answer about James Milner.
Because you got maybe 10 minutes max or I'm off. I was told we were talking about James Milner, Paul.
I want to talk about Sadio Mane because I think everyone's talking about, you know, we've just done it, talking about Neymar, we're talking about, people's talking about Mohamed Salah and how he doesn't react to things. Mohamed Salah, by the way, did celebrate Liverpool's goal. For anyone who thinks he very much does celebrate it. I didn't think of Mane's performance as being quite as good at the time as I did upon rewatching the game. And it was, you know what, the tricks and flicks and stuff that he pulled out, and I got it here, that he's so close to being genuinely world class.
You got that wrong.
I think that, you know, the difference was, there's two moments where his ability with a football is as good as anyone can be with a football. It's the one where he basically sends Neymar for the echo, and the other one is right near the end where he dinks it over Kimpembe, is it? Or Kimpepe, whatever his name is. And I've done that twice on that. I should have just learned what his name was. and he blams it across the face of goal. Both of those efforts, I think, when he does cross that threshold, and I think very much that he will do that this season at some point, I think he sticks at least one of those in the back of the net and puts the game, you know, out of sight. I don't feel that he's there yet, but I feel he is so marginally close to being there.
Yeah, listen, you're splitting hairs when your definition of world class is going to be different to my definition of world class. I think that he is world class, and you know, you'll see all of the same qualities that I will, and you'll see all the same negatives that I will. So that's obviously based. It doesn't matter whether I think he is or he isn't, for mm-hmm. the sake of this. What I will tell you is that he was compared with Phil Coutinho, and Phil Coutinho's world class player. Yeah, everyone says so. Yeah, Mane's been more consistent for longer with goals and assists. Yeah. You know, 2 years ago when Phil Coutinho was inside for Liverpool, who was our player of the year? Sadio Mane, who gets the big move for 150 odd million? Phil Coutinho.
Yeah.
How many goals and assists does Sadio Mane get last season? Well, a fucking ton, quite frankly. This season, he started out like a house on fire. One of the things that I look for in a world-class player is consistency.
Yeah.
He has now shown that for over 2 years at Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah.
He's world-class for me.
The thing for me is what I'm looking for in this thinking. People think of Nate. I think you've got Messi and Ronaldo as joint number one. Best players, and they redefine what world class is. So let's take it from this thing. I think that third spot. I think that list is going to be regenerated in 2 years anyway, when Messi and Ronaldo stop being quite at that peak of that powers, and it's the players who step up to that. Neymar is the one who is the elect player for that, because he's at the right age. He's going to come up just at the time where they're finally dipping out. I think people expect it to be Neymar, but looking at the way Neymar was ghosting past people last night, I don't see too much of a difference between him and Sadio Mane. And what I mean is, I think this will be the season when, if he continues on this form, and if he could break 30 goals this season if he continues the way he's going, and I think if he does that, I think he'll get the recognition that goes with it as well. And he could be one of those players that gets mentioned as, like, the way Suarez, third best player in the world is the one that we've had for 5 or 6 years now, say. And I think this season could be the one where not just us, but the rest of the world goes, bloody hell, Sadio Mane. If you see everyone, he's the player that everyone wants to have, because he's got everything. Pace, power, dribbling.
Right now, name me a better left winger in world football.
Yeah, exactly.
There isn't.
And I think, like you would say, to say what you said before, it's splitting hairs. You could say Neymar.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And I think people would rank Neymar above him on reputation and value and all that kind of stuff.
The fact that you can't reel off four or five names suggests that he's at that level there or thereabouts, regardless, doesn't it? And that's the thing for me. And I think we often look fondly at other teams and other standout players and forget that we're witnessing something great here on a week by week basis.
Yeah.
I mean, how many world class performances has James Milner put in? Yet he'll never be entered into the conversation of world class, Paul.
I know. Well, it's astounding, isn't
it? But how many times do you see him pull out a magnificent game?
If he, it's interesting. There was a shout, and I can't remember what show it was. Oh, it was a tweet, I think, on the Twitter reactions post match, and it was the Milner d'Or, basically, you know, Ballon d'Or. Yeah. When you consider, like, they do love an aging midfielder in the run of these competitions.
Writers.
Well, yeah, yeah. It wouldn't shock me, because again, it's another thing. Flav being a Tottenham fan, and I saw a few Tottenham fans talking about him on Twitter last night, saying like, oh God, he's been so good, he's so hard, it's impossible to dislike James Milner, and it's absolutely dead right. And he's in that vein of form. In fact, let's get into the question. So Charles Holmden says, and it's interesting that he says this because it's something to echo what you said on the Insta Match Reaction podcast. Watching Milner yesterday, I couldn't help but draw comparisons to Stevie G. How far is he off Stevie's level? And I think as we kind of come to, you kind of have to, I think you have to break Stevie. Stevie was four different players throughout his career, I think, more or less. And Milner's probably been about 10.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever been world class in any of them. But I do feel like if you judge what we've seen so far this season and from around this time last season, I think he has become a world-class midfielder.
Certainly for the last at least 9 months since January, something like that, whatever, he's been playing at that level. He's absolutely been playing at that level. I mean, who did he beat out in the assist charts in the Champions League?
Everyone.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
All the world-class players that play in the Champions League each and every year.
Yeah.
In that year, obviously, because he didn't beat them in all. Not the record, actually. He actually beat them in all years.
Everyone,
to be fair, he's beaten every player that's ever played in the Champions League.
He's the best creative midfielder. He's the most creative midfielder ever to play in the Champions League. James Milner.
There you go. He's literally world class, then, isn't he?
I know.
But at 32, I actually feel he's better than Stevie at 32.
It's interesting. It might be worth it. I've not actually done any look into the stats, but we were talking a little bit about this last night and how. You're right. I said, like, the DM Steven Gerrard, which of course Milner isn't, so, you know, it's not like they're playing in the same position per se. But, you know, at that point, we were trying to get what we could out of Gerrard. He had the one last swan song, anchor in the midfield, which people forget because they always go on about the 34. He only did from December onwards.
Yeah.
There was a point where he wasn't really working in that team. We had a little run of games.
Well, maybe we'd play him as the 10.
Well, we had a run of games where we played Alan Henderson and Lucas, I think it was. Yeah. Lucas in the DM and Alan and Henderson in part of the diamond. And we were like, this midfield works so much better. And I think it was around the time Alan picked up another injury and we scooch it round and Gerrard makes it his own. But in terms of like having that level of energy, you're going back. It was like 20. Gerrard in his 20s, late 20s when he was playing remotely similar to how Milner's playing at the moment.
And there's some extenuating circumstances. Obviously, Gerrard had really tough injuries at the start of his career.
Absolutely.
So, and also, you know, Milner being that little bit younger, sports science being just a bit further along in football, it feels like he was one of the early adopters anyway. He breaks into the league at 16 and playing in the bloody Prem for 16 years.
I'm not saying Gerrard's a massive boozer because I know that he's not, but I think Milner's teetotal. Yeah. You know, so all that stuff, he's you're right. He's more a product of the students of the Ryan Giggs way of doing things.
Exactly.
Not that how you live your sexual life, but how you live life as a footballer, taking care of yourself and what have you. I issue.
Has he got any brothers, James?
I'm sure this is a solid stand-up guy. But you can see eventually James Milner will start to slow down and it's going to be a long season. But, you know, we've...
He's also not been run into the ground, has he?
No.
You have a few years at City where you're a little bit... you know, more of a squad player, and you come into Liverpool and you don't play 70 games a season, because nobody plays 70 games a season, Chris. but you do play every game when you're playing left back and stuff. So he's had it a little bit easier over the tougher years, I suppose, of his career, where Stevie was just like, you fit, you're in.
But when we talk a lot of what the talk this season is about players tiring, and, you know, it's about World Cup hangovers, and, you know, I've said this season's going to be pivotal because everyone's legs are going to fall off in the last 6 weeks, 2 months of the season. It's going to happen across the board, particularly for the top six teams. James Milner might be 32, and that will have an impact on that. But he's not gone the World Cup. He's on a holiday, and he's kept himself in shape. And as you say, it's on the back of him being only really having probably half a season the season before, really, at the true intense level. He was rotated for a spell as well. Yes, probably his hardest season ever when he did the season at left back, and that's when we saw the limits of what you can do with James Milner. But now he feels like he's not going to lose loads. He's not got loads of pace to lose, so that won't be an issue. And I don't think he's the kind of player who will ever save himself. So you might not be able to put him out for 50 games a season, but you're always, whatever games you're going to put him out for, you're going to get that. I think you're going to get that James
Milner.
That's
a really interesting point. Actually, I'd never considered it like that. But yeah, he's not going to be one who's, you're right, he's not going to be looking forwards and going, if I go easy a bit here, I'll get in the game for the next one. He'll just empty his tank every single game that he's asked to empty his tank, and he'll see whether it refills or not. And we might find that later down the line it doesn't. But right now, it doesn't look like it's ever going to start. And listen, we talk about his engine, we talk about his age too much. Let's talk about what he does on the football field, by the way. Yeah. Because the separation that he gets from every midfielder that he's playing opposite against, he always finds himself in space. Yeah. He always finds, but when they've got the ball, he always finds himself there, harrying them. There's no separation. He's like a frigging dog with a bone. He's all over them. His free kicks, his corners, everything about it, his passing range, the ability to be able to cover Robertson without speaking to each other. He's dropping into left back. Robertson's bombing on and playing on the shoulder of Strikers last night against PSG. Yeah. And you're thinking to yourself, how has he gone almost unnoticed for so long? Everyone knows he's a good player.
Yeah.
Old, dependable James Milner. That's almost what he was.
Well, that's why, I think, is because I think he's so useful. And look, Gerard felt foul of this as well, is when you're so good and you can do so many jobs and you're prepared to do jobs for people, then inevitably, look, there shouldn't be no doubt in anyone's mind in football that Gerard was a better footballer than Frank Lampard and Paul Scholes. It should be absolutely undoubted, but unfortunately, because he was so good, the fact that he got put for a spell here, out left wing, he got put for a spell on the right wing, he'd done this, that actually gets counted against him, because it's harder to measure, and inevitably people look at goals and they look at assists and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, well, look at all the other stuff he did. Did you see Frank Lampard playing right back in a Champions League final? No, you wouldn't see it, because he's just not capable of doing that. Paul Scholes, my God, you know, if you had to play Paul Scholes in a defensive situation, how long would he last on the pitch, you know, before he got horrendously sent off
in that one?
Well, yeah, God, yeah. And the thing with James Milner, he's not had that recognition because he's been doing that. But I think what he's done, and I think this is why his attitude is so absolutely spot on, and I think you can see he's enjoying his game. I think footballers do naturally go, it's a long season, I need to take care of myself, and maybe I will go 75% here because I've got to make sure I'm available for next week, and I'll give him me all when it's really the games that really truly demand it. I think Milner's looked and gone, okay, I've probably got two more seasons left in me at the absolute pinnacle of football. I believe I have anyway. What do I want to be doing? Well, I want to play centre mid, and I don't want to be, I'm too slow to be a winger now. I don't want to be playing left back anymore, so I want to be a centre mid. And I just feel like he has totally dedicated himself to changing his game. Chris, if you watched, without knowing who James Milner was, without any idea of where he came from or where he played or what, you know, positions or clubs or whatever, how would you describe James Milner as what type of midfielder is he now?
He's a tenacious...
Tenacious midfielder is the first word that came to my head when I was thinking
box
about it.
Box to box?
Yeah.
Midfielder.
James Milner is a winger.
Yeah.
James Milner came through the ranks as a winger. Right winger, could play left wing, and then you go through natural, and he can play in advanced positions, etc., etc. Is it right mid, is it a left mid, etc., etc. You don't go from being a winger to being a tigerish centre midfielder. You just don't.
No, you don't.
And not when you're probably he's probably about 5'9", maybe 5'10". You know, he's not a monster physically or whatever. He's not like super aerially dominant. You wouldn't naturally want to put him in those positions, and yet his application and his willingness to put his body on the line, it's all part and parcel of this rededication. We talk about the reinvention of yourself as a footballer. He could be played. Look at Stuart Downing, right? Fine winger, never really had the pace to ever be a truly world class, or the mentality, but that's by the by. He ended up a bit left back for us because he wasn't good enough to play left wing, and then he kind of set, he wanted to play midfield or from wide, and he settled as being a championship level footballer because that's the only place he can get in doing that. Well, James Milner's again, look what he's done. He has decided that if he wants to play top level football, then he's going to have to be something more than he is, because if you're going to be a winger, hasn't got the attributes to be a modern Champions League, Premier League quality winger. I look at the Fernando Torres example at Atletico Madrid. Fernando Torres' career was on the way out. Once he left us, his career was just on a negative trajectory. Reinvented himself as a target man and got a good couple of years out of himself at Atletico Madrid. James Milner deserves all the credit and love in the world for that. Leads us into a question from Lee Evans. Not that one. Copite_G. How much would Milner be worth in the current market if he was 25 years old?
What did Pogba go for? And how old was he? 23?
Yeah, 90
years old-ish. Like that was
million.
He younger.
Was he 100 million? 90 million?
No, how old is Pogba? That's what I was asking, at what age? I don't know how much he went for.
23.
About that. About 90 to 100 million, probably. if he's this good at that age, yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not outlandish to say so. Yeah. He's better than Paul Pogba.
There you go. Have that. I can't disagree.
I'm not jesting in any way, shape or form.
Not doing it for banter.
No, I'm not doing it. If you ask me who I'd rather have in Liverpool's side, James Milner or Paul Pogba, and James Milner's 25 years old, I'd take James Milner.
Brilliant. Could not agree more. Fantastic. If you've got some love for James Milner, please do leave it in the comments underneath. And if you think he is better than Paul Pogba, drop a like on this video right now. Or leave a 5-star review if you listen to the podcast. We're going to crack on. We're going to talk about Southampton looming on the horizon at the weekend. But before we do, time for a little plug for some of the other wonderful work that we're doing around the Redmen TV at the moment. The lads, Tom, Simon, Ross, have got their very own podcast after every single game. It is the Man of the Match podcast, and it's a chance to spread some love and have some love for the Liverpool players that perform best every week. Yeah, get on that, theredmentv.com. You can get that, as the fact that it's got a podcast in the title, in audio form or in video form, whatever takes your fancy. And that's true across pretty much all of the content we do on the website. So, you know, if you're from Australia and you've got severe internet issues, which we've discovered that people have a lot, I feel really sorry for you guys. But
they could move over here.
Just move over here.
Your subscription, you know, you could watch it all.
They're outside the EU, aren't they? So Brexit shouldn't affect them. That'd be absolutely fine. So yeah, come over, get better. Or if you're struggling, as I say, you don't have to get with the video versions of things. You can get the audio versions and save on your data.
Might be easier for them thinking about it, you know, for a few seconds.
Yeah,
I mean, they're moving over from Australia.
So, okay, listen, we've decided, don't move over here. Just sign up to theredmentv.com.
Yeah,
and get our stuff in podcast. So we'll do that now.
We've sorted it. May or may not improve because of it.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. There we go. We fixed it. We fixed.
It won't improve. We've still sign up to.
We fixed Australia. Well done. Was that the ASMR advert?
Here's now. Hi everyone. I'm touching. This is the ASMR version of the podcast.
Your shoulder. I've only just finished introducing this one in the office. It's fucking weird. Anyway, Southampton, Chris. To borrow an Indiana Jones and Clerks quote, there's no time for love, Dr. Jones. We can't stop. We can't stop to enjoy ourselves. Can't stop to celebrate. No, nothing to celebrate. We just won a game of football. We've won two good games of football on the bounce.
Six.
It is all for shit. Yeah. If you don't then continue on and beat Southampton at the weekend.
Yeah, but there's a change in how we're viewed as a team now. There would have been a time, maybe even 18 months ago, where this Liverpool side get two results like this and people start going, yeah, that's fine. They will drop points at the weekend. And in the past, they probably would have been right about that. But this Liverpool side now, It doesn't feel like they're going to drop points.
I what I've got down here is that it would be, inverted commas, typical Liverpool to go and drop down. And it's funny, I can't stand that expression because it doesn't ring true to me. But if you, we say this a lot, if you're 18 years old and you've lived through the last 8 years of Liverpool as your main time as being a Liverpool supporter, yeah, I get it. Typical Liverpool, always throwing stuff away when you're on the cusp of doing something good. And that's the thing. The complacency there is something that desperately
this Liverpool
needs to be
side's
not
about
against.
That though, Paul. This Liverpool side's about going on and winning games consistently. We've won the last six games on the bounce.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back before that. When was the last defeat that we had? You know,
Champions League final.
Well, no, we had a defeat in pre-season and stuff, didn't we? But we had about another four victories in pre-season as well. So this Liverpool side is about going on and kicking on and doing better than the last game. And this Liverpool side's about improving your performances. And I think over the last two performances, we've certainly improved. And this Southampton side is about coming out of here with maybe a point.
Yeah.
And that's not last season or the season before. They'd have been looking at it going, we've done really well against them because we've made ourselves compact. We've made ourselves really hard to beat. Now they're looking at it and going, last year Salah dicked us. He schooled us in finish. And now we just want to get out of here and get on the coach home with just a point to hold on to and stuff. And this Liverpool side is just, it's set up to just continue the way that it's going because Klopp will just ride them until they can't do it anymore. Yeah. And, you know, we've got the cup. That's what the focus will be on, the Carabao Cup. And that's what Liverpool players will be looking towards. That's when they get their little off time, if there is going to be any off time. And Southampton are just another team that we have to beat.
I can't put into words how much I dislike Mark Hughes as a football manager. I don't know him as a person. I don't know if he's a nice person or not. And frankly, I really don't care. It'd be interesting to see how they approach it, because I think anyone with half a brain at this point would go to Anfield and just go, right, we're just going to literally stick everyone behind the ball. We're probably going to get beat either way. Let's go in and defend for our lives and try and nick something from a set piece or whatever. I'm not sure whether, for a start, because he was the guy who was supposedly going to revolutionise Stoke post Pulis and give them a bit more freedom to play a bit of footy. Southampton, as we well know, are in their DNA a solid footballing side. That's why we've had so many of their players off, is because we know that there's not a great transition between how they played football to how we were playing football. It'd be interesting to see how he approaches this game if they approach this game with Vev. I'm confident of us getting a result regardless, but I think this could be the kind of game that we've been looking for, and the first type of the game like this since the West Ham game, where we could kind of do with a team that wants to play footy against us but isn't great at it, for us just to get into that swing of being clinical and sticking.
Yeah, you could be right there. The interesting thing for me is that Ings isn't going to be playing. Yeah. You know, they've been playing with two up top. Mm-hmm. You know, Shane Long's been playing and Danny Ings has been playing, and that will fundamentally change the way that Hughes' side sets up against us. You know, do you just bring Gabbiadini in? He's not been getting game time.
Yeah, has Charlie Austin got it?
Charlie Austin doesn't look like he's going to be coming into the side. They've got a young lad that Freddie from the Ugly Inside was telling me about that he'd like to see more of, but he doesn't think it's going to happen. He just thinks what's going to happen is that Danny Ings shaped hole is just going to, that counter is just going to be pushed back into the midfield and gone, keep it tight, lads.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right if that's the case, because then it's a game where Liverpool have a lot of possession. Liverpool are going to be trying to rest a little bit more. You know, for as much as we dominated PSG, it was a hard game, exactly like Tottenham Hotspur. Rest in possession, try and break through, get the lads on the ball inside the box, try and shoot, get some goals in the bag and walk away with, you know, nothing expended. Yeah. And that's kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those, isn't it? It's hard to build up to games like this without sounding like pricks. I always struggle with these kind of games because, let's be honest, if in many respects this is the kind of game where you just go, the analysis should be Southampton are like 13th in the league. They've only won one game this season. We are top of the league. We're top of the league for a reason. We're chock full of amazing, brilliant talent, and we're at home. Liverpool win, and let's get on with it. And in that regard, I would like us to, you know, as much as I'd like this to be a bit of a shooting gallery exercise and just getting everyone's sharpness up, realistically, as you kind of say, we've expended a lot of energy in the last week. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind a nice professional performance here where we don't have to go flat out. We just control the ball. We pick our moments. You always talked about reference that Real Madrid side at its peak. Just slow, slow, slow. Fast, go, strike, be incisive, and then bring it in again, you know, and take your time and manage the game really well. And I'd be more than happy for this to be a, you know, we talked about in the pomp of Rafa days, those days where you just turn up, you have a very pleasant afternoon at the footy, you get a win and you go home and there's no mega talking points, there's no mega drama.
There's no highs or lows.
Just a nice, consistent, good performance. Yeah, that would be absolutely splendid. Brilliant, we've got a couple of questions coming in from viewers and subscribers, in fact, this week. The first one, very simple. Well, actually, is it?
It's not fucking simple, Paul, are you kidding me?
Deceptively simple. Ant Hale. At Hale Ant. See what he's done. Or is it Haley? It doesn't matter, Paul. Bacon or sausage?
I think the answer is bacon. But it's freaking close, mate.
Yeah, I see. I'm trying to watch what I eat at the moment, and basically sausages are off the market. I can eat bacon to my heart's content, and as a result...
You want
sausages? I want sausages so badly. I just want a nice big sausage, Chris. Is that what you're looking for? Absolutely. Is that what you're looking for? Well, you've got it. Maybe you've got yourself. I want market. A big sausage in me. But bacon's fit as well. If you could only have bacon butties or sausage butties for the rest of your life.
Bacon. Okay. Bacon, absolutely. The thing that makes it close is that sausage is versatile. Toast. Sausage is versatile. You know, you can change the flavourings and all that type of stuff. You can use it in a different, like, it's not like a breakfast type thing. You know, you get sausage and mash, you get chorizo, you get all those type, you know, the andouille sausages, which are great Brittany style pancakes.
If you went in a chippy and asked for a bacon and chips, you'd be a weirdo, wouldn't you? Whereas a sausage and chips is a meal.
But you can have mac and cheese and all those type of things with bacon. And let's be honest, if you could fuck any bacon off, it would be unsmoked, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's the point in unsmoked bacon? Like,
it's just
fucking, it's just warm ham, innit? It's just, you know what I mean? It's just warm ham.
Get lost. Get in the bin. On your bike, unsmoked bacon, you're just warm ham. Great. There we go. I don't think we could have answered that possibly any better. Matt Froud, who's a subscriber to the redmentv.com and presumably proud because he's in our Facebook group, this is pick your Liverpool modern pentathlon team.
I don't know if this is right.
Wikipedia says, and we're going only on this, if it's incorrect, we're going on Matt Froud. It says the events are 200 metre swim, show jumping, pistol shooting, and cross country running.
He's just watched it, only four.
And he says, not sure why it's called a pentathlon with only four events, but sounds like a laugh regardless. So look, it's not our job here to analyse what and what isn't a pentathlon, only to answer the question put in front of us. So for 200 metre swim,
Virgil.
So I wanted to pick your brain on this as a former swimmer.
Big shoulders.
Okay, shoulders. Cool. I was going to say, what is it that typifies a swimmer?
And, you know,
is it upper body strength?
Yeah, a lot of the time. Like, the fastest stroke is butterfly that you can do where you put your legs together.
It's not your fastest stroke, though.
Absolutely is, mate. 100%.
I thought it was the five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, so I'd
35
years old. I'd go Virgil van Dijk. Listen, 200 metres, he's got the stamina to be able to go 200 metres, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really know what to go with. I was wondering whether you had to be quite lean and strong. So I was the inevitable one is like, would Salah be a good swimmer?
Do you remember Paddy, who went to our school?
Stephen Paddy.
Do you remember the size of him?
No,
that's all. He was our swimming captain when he won the bronze in the 50 metre butterfly, maybe, or maybe it was 200 metre butterfly actually in the Olympic Games. 6'6", 6'7", like a upside down fucking triangle his body looked like, you know what I mean?
Okay, sad. Okay, well, I'm all in on that. See, I was going to, right, so for show jump, now I couldn't work out whether this was, they were to be the horse or the jockey. So if it was to be the horse, I went for Van Dijk with this because I feel like with the whole main thing, I think he's got a horse-like quality. But I went for Lallana because I feel like Lallana would be the most Tory of everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Like the Tory stuff does come into. I went with, you know what, Lallana was a great shout for that reason as well. I went for the smaller guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just went for Moreno.
Would have been,
I think Moreno would probably, it's like something he just does anyway in his spare time. Probably. Like Lallana, we know what he does with his spare time, but Moreno's probably off there.
I bet Moreno
jumping around the Albert Dock car park right now.
I bet he's got a skate park in his back garden.
I reckon he'd probably do something like get a giant hamster's wheel. for himself and maybe like a rat run tunnel or like something like that. Do you know what, in his house, and like he doesn't use stairs, he's just got tunnels and he goes up
and down. Yeah, you ring the doorbell and there's no answer, and then just this little hole opens at the bottom of the door and he just pops his head out.
Yeah, like, you know,
he goes like, ha.
So all that basically means medicine, definitely be the best show jumper that
we've got. I was going to say he looks like a giant hamster, but he doesn't. He looks like a medium-sized hamster, doesn't he, to be fair. Pistol shooting?
I went with Trent because I think Trent will probably play Call of Duty.
Okay. I went Allison because I just think that the man's sense of direction, and he's just got that, he's got the killer ball in him, hasn't he, like, you know what I mean? So I figured that Trent was a shout that I considered, but I wondered whether that was a negative stereotype towards Scousers to have him be the lad who you'd give the gun to. So
it's just Call of Duty, innit? Yeah. I'm sure he plays it.
Sure. Cross country, is there a better answer than James Milner?
I went for, it was a toss up between Milner and Firmino, and I went with Firmino.
Okay. Sad. Because he likes a press, doesn't he? Yeah.
No, cross, because he just fucking runs all day anyway, yeah, doesn't he? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The answer to that would have been Henderson like 3 years ago, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Right. We are going to be continuing this podcast over on the redmentv.com with a subscriber Q&A.
These next questions, though, mate.
So we want to know, if you ever want to know what Chris and I's go-to move is on the dance floor, if you had to pick a Liverpool 11 of all time with only one player from any country, let's see, one player from each of the rest of the top six and making a start on 11. Favourite sneakers? No. And if we were going on the Crystal Maze, pick a Liverpool team to go against the Red Men TV team. And Lauren gave me the daggers there. Also pick our Champions League five-a-side team as well. So get over to the redmentv.com, sign up. It's free for the first month to get a little bit of a gander around the stuff that we're doing. It's video content and it's podcast content, as I say. So if your internet's not great, got your cover podcast, you can get you on the commute. You can download it into your podcasting app, all the exclusive stuff, so you can take it with you. And again, if you want to sit down and luxuriate with your feet up in front of the telly, you can do that as well. We've got every angle covered, stats and tactics, analysis and the daft shite that we're about to do on this subscriber Q&A as well.
It's the most popular podcast that we have on the website.
As well it should be. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. Warham.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.